Thank you, Alvin, and good evening, everyone. It's great to be in the house of the Lord this evening. First of all, I'd like to thank the church and especially Pastor and the deacons for giving me the opportunity to come and preach from the Word tonight. It's always a privilege to be able to do so. And if I could ask you this evening, if you could turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to read the whole chapter. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we might stand while we read God's word. And it says, "Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doeth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." Verse 8, "Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity." Let's open up the service with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for tonight and the opportunity that we have to come before you and open up your word. Lord, I pray that you just may prepare each and every one of our hearts as we look at your Bible and you speak to us. Lord, I pray that you just may speak through me and guard me behind your cross and just use me as a vessel for you. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. Please be seated. So as we have a look at this passage, we see there's an overarching theme in this whole chapter. And you might have noticed that the word that we see quite regularly is the word charity. So that's the word that we're going to be having a look at today, is the word charity. But before we get into the crux of the message, it's important to understand, when we're looking at a specific word in the Bible, the history and the context of that word and how we come to what we see now in the King James as the word charity. So obviously the New Testament was written in Greek, and in the Greek, the word for charity was agape. Now, as you may know, there is four or five different types of love in the Greek, and one of those is charity. Now, the special thing about charity is that it's not just the love from a day-to-day person, but rather it's the love that God shows us. It's the godly love. It's not the love that we might show towards a spouse. It's not the love that we show towards a friend, but rather it's that sacrificial love in which what God shows us. And as we read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that's ultimately a chapter of the Apostle Paul telling the Corinthians as to what love is. So when we have a look at this word, and as we go through today, we need to understand the definition in a much better depth as to what charity is talking about. So when we have a look at love and what charity is, what does the world think of love? Well, quite honestly, the world has twisted and tortured what love is. Love in a worldly sense these days is no longer the sacrificial, the undying love in which God chose to us, but rather It's a self-serving love. It's a love which requires a transaction. You know, we have a look at the world today and we see that more than 50% of marriages end in divorce. Just think about that for a moment. You know, we've been blessed in the church over the last 6 months. We've had five or six couples get married. Now, statistically, half of them are likely to get divorced. Now, it's going to be our prayer and our hope and desire that they stay together, married in a godly, loving relationship. However, out in the world, 50% of couples end in divorce. Now, that begs the question, why do these couples all end in divorce? Well, if we have a look at marriage, I haven't had the blessing of that yet, and I look forward to that in time to come. However, the whole concept of marriage is to reflect the relationship that we have between the Lord and ourselves. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. If in marriages that love was established and that love was there, there wouldn't be a 50% divorce rate. Because God's perfect plan for marriage is to show that love through it. Now, as we'll go through the message, we'll see that love is only capable of being received if we know God, and we're going to have a look at that a little bit later on. But the reason why love is lost in marriages is because people see it as a transaction. And what is a transaction? When you go to the shops and you pick something up off the shelf, you take it to the cashier and you hand them money. And there's a dollar figure price on that. And once you give the cashier money, they'll let you take that away. You've exchanged something for something else. Now, people in the world and a secular view of love is exactly that. They see love as something that you need to exchange. I will love you providing that you love me back. Imagine if that was the way that God loved us. Salvation just wouldn't be possible. Salvation would be based on the things that we do for God. It would be based on a works-based salvation, not salvation through faith and salvation through grace. We are so incredibly blessed that we have a God that loves us unconditionally, that loves us sacrificially. So this is the sort of love which is talked about when it's referring to agape love. It's not referring to the love that the world shows. It's referring to that godly love. Now, other parts in the Bible, the translators, the King James, they haven't used charity. Sometimes they use love. And we're going to have a look at a couple of those other passages tonight. Now, if you'd like to turn with me to John chapter 13. We're going to read verse 34 and 35, and it says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." So what we've just done before, we've realized what love is, and love is of God, and love is that agape love, the undying, that sacrificial love that God shows to us. And this is what Christ says here. Look at this. It says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Now, we've just seen how impressive that love is that God shows us. We've just seen how it's sacrificial, it's undying, it's unconditional. And then Jesus says, "I want you to love one another as I have loved you." How high of a standard is that? You know, we are all sinful in nature, and this is the model and the expectation is what Christ expects of us. However, in our sinful nature, we revert back to the old man, and that old man wants to love in such a way where it's transactional. Sure, we're happy to do things for people. We're happy to show people love and kindness and be all the things that we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're happy from verse 4 to verse 7. We're happy to be kind. We're happy to envy not. We're happy to vaunt not ourselves. We're happy to not puff ourselves up for as long as we get something in return. That is not the love in which God is talking about. It's the unsacrificial love. It's the love that we don't have to receive something back. Read verse 35 with me. It says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." So Christ, he is saying, it is by this love, that all men will know that you are my disciples. Now, what's that mean? That means our identity as a Christian, our identity as a child of God, is hinged upon our love for one another. People will know us by our love. Now, how many of us here can confidently walk into church today and go, yeah, I'm known to be a loving person. I'm known to be showing that agape love in which God shows us. You know, I'd have to say I'm not. I'm not known as that person. And it's a great challenge for us to strive to be more like that. Now, you might be sitting there and you might be going, well, sure, I want to do that. I want to go out and I want to show that love to other people. And I want to be a great witness for Christ. I want to be a salt and a light to the earth, as we're called to in Matthew chapter 5. However, we need to look at our foundations. Where does our love start? Our love needs to start first and foremost in our homes. I quoted the passage just before, but I believe it's Ephesians chapter 5, if you'd like to quickly turn there. Verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it." So this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesians, and he is instructing the husbands, you need to be loving your wives in the same way in which Christ loved the church. And what sort of love is that? It's the agape love. It's the love that we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If we're not showing love first and foremost in our household, how do we expect to be able to go out and love our church members? And then following that, if we're not loving in our home and if we're not loving in our own congregation of saints, how do we expect to be able to go out and love the world and fulfill what Christ is saying here in John chapter 13, that by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love for another? How are we meant to fulfill that if we don't have our foundations right? You know, if we were to go out there and we're able to be a great witness for Christ, if we're able to go out there and love one another, but then an unsaved person comes into church and sees that in a church we're not loving one another, and sees that in your home you're not loving your family, they're going to see right through that. And whatever love that we've showed them has been destroyed. They'll see it's all vanity and meaningless. And then from there, if we're able to show love in our family and if we're able to show love in our church, that's when we can be a great witness for Christ. But it's quite a challenging thing, because you might be sitting there and you might be going, well, I really struggle with loving other people. I really struggle with loving in my household. You know, obviously I quoted a passage from Ephesians chapter 5, which is referring to husbands. However, if you're not married, if you don't have a spouse, you can still be loving in your household. You can be loving your siblings. If you don't live at home with your family anymore, you can be loving the people that you live with. It's a great challenge. You know, there's a great saying, which I'm sure we've all heard before. If we went to court and we were being judged on whether or not we're a Christian, is there enough evidence to suggest that we are? And love is a very big part of that. You know, you have some handouts with you this morning, and on the back of the handouts, I think it's been folded in the middle, I have listed down all the points from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, from verses 4 through to verse 7, which are all the attributes that's listed here about love. I haven't copied it word for word, but it's been paraphrase or dot pointed for ease of read. However, I do recommend that you go back and have a look at that passage a little bit more and meditate upon it. But you might be sitting there asking, well, how do I love people more? I really try to, but it's just hard. My sinful nature gets in the way. And you know, that's true. Our sinful nature does get in the way of us loving other people because we're selfish creatures. You know, there's as innocent or as semantic as this may be, when I go over to Chloe's house and visit her and her family, I always walk in, and I'm coming out from New South Wales, right? So down there, it's a lot cooler, and up here, it's a lot more humid. I always want to turn the aircon on. Now, that's because I want to feel cool. That's where I feel the most comfortable. However, the Griffiths, they've acclimatized the Queensland, so as soon as the aircon is on, they feel cold. Now, it's a very poor example, you could say, but that just shows the heart of men. I'm wanting to feel comfortable and not taking the consideration of them. And as much as it might be a joke and as much as it is funny to laugh about, it does show the heart of man and the nature of man. So the answer to how we love people more, we can see that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. If you could flick there in your Bibles. And it reads, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." Very simply, this verse here is saying the way that you are able to love is by knowing God. Which we just went on a youth camp last week, and there's many of us here which were able to go on that. And one of the things that Jeremy spoke about was your foundations. How are your foundations with the Lord? And there's three pillars which I like to talk about when I'm talking about the foundations, which is firstly, your Bible readings. How much time do you spend in the Bible? Because that's ultimately how you're going to be able to get to know the Lord the most, by spending the time in the Bible, by meditating on things that he has done, and really just seeing his love. Secondly, it's spending time in prayer. Now, I was watching, I was going to say podcast, it was actually a reel today. Occasionally reels pop up, which are of decent quality. And the guy on the reel, he was saying, very often married couples on the way to church, they get into an argument. But then if they were just to stop and pray together, how all the pettiness may just go out the window. Now, I haven't been married yet, so I'm not totally sure. Maybe I can seek some advice on some of you that have been married, but if that was a thing or not. But it's really interesting to see. I can personally testify that when I have prayed at a time of stress or anger, I've really been mellowed. And it's great just having that communion and that fellowship with the Lord. It really just is a great blessing. And thirdly, the final pillar is spending time with other godly people. You know, we are like a sponge in many ways. And what does a sponge do? A sponge, when you put it and submerse it in something, it absorbs what is around it. Then when you pull the sponge out and you squeeze it and wring it out, what comes out? Whatever it was immersed in. So we are the exact same way. If we're spending time with ungodly counsel and ungodly influences on our life, what's going to happen? We're going to reap what we sow. If we're spending time with good, godly people, with Christians who are really great examples for us and point one another to the Lord, ultimately, that's what we will do. So I encourage you, if you're here this evening and you go, yeah, I'm lacking in the loving space a bit. Maybe you're lacking loving in the home. Maybe you have some contentions with your siblings. Maybe you have some contentions with your parents. Maybe you have some contentions with your spouse. I'll challenge you. How are your foundations? How are you with your Bible readings? How are you with your prayer life? What are you allowing to influence you? You know, I want to read a verse again in John chapter 13, verse 35. It says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." It's really important that we get this right. You know, we have lots of new people as a church coming in through our doors, and what they're going to see is not the preaching, it's not the singing or the orchestra, but it really, it's the love and how they're cared for when they walk in the door. You know, and it's really hard to be able to show them love if we don't have our foundations right. So as we leave here this morning, let's meditate on that and spend some time with the Lord and really just seek His guidance there. Let's close off with a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for the message that we've just had. I pray that You just may work in each and every one of our hearts and just point out, Lord, where we may not be showing love. Lord, I know that I am a culprit for that. I pray that You may work in me and just help me to be showing the love in which God has showed us through the sacrifice of Christ. Lord, we thank You and we love You. We pray these things in Your mighty name. Amen.